In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Beste kijkers van Hour of Power, goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom op deze mooie zondagmorgen. Ik heb een bijzondere gast in Hour of Power, maar daar ga ik je zo meteen alles van vertellen. We hebben prachtige muziek. Het koor van Hour of Power zingt dat majestueuze Psalm 150, 3000 jaar geleden geschreven door die herdersjonge David. En we hebben een bijzondere gast in Shepherd Grove. En als je hem ziet, dan word je blij. Blij van de levensvreugde die hij uitstraalt. Maar hij heeft geen armen en hij heeft geen benen. Zijn naam is Nick en hij praat over Gods plan voor je leven. En hij komt ook naar Nederland. Daar gaan we straks alles over vertellen. En Alex Boy is een bijzonder verhaal van een jongen die van een Afrikaanse moeder is. Die in Engeland naar een kostschool gaat, maar drie baantjes erbij heeft om zijn droom waar te maken, namelijk een goede opleiding. En dan krijgt hij de kans om in Amerika America Got Talent te zingen. En hij zingt I Am Gold en dat is eigenlijk zijn geloofsbelijdenis. Je gaat hem horen, hij zingt het in het Swahili. Tuku Tenderesa, Yesuma. En dan hebben we als gast vanmorgen Bobby Schuller. Bobby, good morning.
Hi, Jan. Good morning.
I'm so glad you're here on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I'm thrilled
and
to
not
be here.
Over there. Nick is in your church preaching.
That's
and you're
right.
Here. Wonderful.
Yeah.
The morning of Shepherd Grove and the church will be different soon.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're adding a new service, so our church continues to grow. We just found out we're actually one of the fastest growing churches in America, which is terrific.
And congratulations.
So thank you.
Yeah.
So we're trying to sort out where to put everybody, and we're starting a new 8 a.m. service. So I met with the choir and with Don, and it means they have to start rehearsing at 6 in the morning. It means I have to wake up at 4 in the morning to just
wake up.
And yeah, I got it. You know, I normally wake up at about 5:30, something like that, but adding an 8 a.m. service means I'm going to have to get up an hour and a half earlier. Just to wake up and pray and get my heart ready to preach. And so,
to be a Christian is a sacrifice, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. No, in all seriousness, it's always a sacrifice.
Yes.
So the Lord's always going to challenge you and ask you to do things that are difficult.
Okay.
In order to.
We're going to talk about that.
Great.
And first we go to Shepherd Grove. And iedereen van harte welkom. Ik vind het zo leuk dat zoveel jonge mensen kijken en dat Bobby zo'n enthousiaste jonge dominee is. Hour of Power is er voor u.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
And welcome, welcome, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are spiritual family, and I love it. There is strength and there is power in us being unified. Would you turn around and shake the hand of the person next to you and say, God loves you, and so do I.
All right, it's going to be a good day today. I'm feeling good. How about you? You know, we are starting the week off right by lifting our souls to heaven, by worshiping God and recognizing the love and presence of Jesus Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you've called us here to your house. It's a celebration. We're celebrating Easter. We're celebrating your spirit. We're celebrating your joy and your wisdom and your word. Father, we pray that you continue to build us up into the likeness of Jesus Christ. For everyone that's here this morning, that's watching on television, we pray that you begin to break chains, you encourage everyone, and help us realize that you're proud of us and that we are going the direction that you want us to go. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. words of our Lord found in Daniel. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. May we work hard, but abandon all outcomes to our loving God, for his power has always and will always be the final word.
Well, it's always such a privilege to welcome back our good friends to the show, especially somebody as talented as Alex Boyer. Hey, Alex. You know, since his last visit, Alex was already successful when he came here, but since his last visit, Alex continues to make amazing music. He's covered pop artists from Adele to Pharrell Williams, as well as sharing his positive original songs with his own signature style. And just been incredibly successful online and doing some great things. We're just so glad to see God blessing your career. Thank you so thank please you. Welcome Alex Boyer. So first, we just want to congratulate you on your success. What's it been like? What's your life been like the last year or two?
I tell you, it's been great. And I went on America's Got Talent. I just decided to do it for a joke and actually ended up being pretty amazing.
I know. And the funniest thing is you're a British-born African national on America's Got Talent.
That's right.
It's a new world. It's a new world. So, I mean, life wasn't easy for you, though. I mean, you have these deep roots in Africa, but you grew up in London. Yeah. But you were, like, when you were a teenager, you were homeless, right? Your mom was going to go back to Africa, but and she was only supposed to be gone a bit, but then...
Yeah, I was homeless for a while on the streets, and it was tough. You know, I had a lot of despair and depression. Just, I felt like the people that I loved, I felt like they'd all rejected me in some way, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't until years later that I realized why my mom actually left, and then I cried, you know? But that was a whole other story. But
why did she leave?
Because we were all broke. We had absolutely nothing. And she was dating a gentleman in Nigeria, and he wanted to have her stay out there. And she said, well, I need to come back to my son. He said, well, you make a choice. Either you go with me or with your son. So she put me in a boarding school in England, which at the time I really hated.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the trials you went through made you stronger?
Absolutely. You don't want them, but when you look back, you know that you absolutely needed them to where you are right now, and you just think, oh my gosh, you know. It's just one of those things where I look at our Savior Jesus Christ, the trials that he went through, and here I'm complaining about mine. And first of all, he had to go through what he went through to get the glory that he has now.
Yeah.
So what am I complaining about? Don't I want the glory? Aren't I praying for the glory every single day?
Yeah.
Right? But what we realize is the way God's version of good is different from ours.
Yeah.
Like, you have to go through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're just like, no, just give me ice cream. That's good. You know what I mean? Obviously good is, you know. But I tell you, it's just, I am grateful for those trials. I'm grateful for the times when I was walking the streets of London, age of 16, eating food from trash. I am grateful. I'm grateful for all those experiences, because sometimes when I meet friends, I meet people who are about to give up. And I'm like, let me tell you, man. It's like all this that you're going through right now, is gonna be, you're going to use it to bless other people.
Yep.
And sometimes it's not for you. It's for the idea of you. To bless other people with what you've been through, with your experiences.
Yeah. And you're doing it. You're doing it for me, and you're doing it for so many people. As we watch your videos, you have such a way of singing that lifts people's hearts. I mean, you listen to somebody that, with all the things you went through, you can't help but listen to Alex Boyer sing and not feel encouraged and lifted up. And
a lot of us are struggling. We go through so much. And I think, really, a lot of us, we walk around here when we're really actually here. But Satan makes us just believe that this is where we are. Lucifer just gives us that feeling that this is all we are. And sometimes even, you know how many times when people say, oh, I'm just a teacher, I'm just a scout, I'm just a mother.
Yeah, absolutely.
We always put that word just in front. Why? Because that just is saying, I'm nobody really, I'm just average.
Yeah.
But we're put on here to be gold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, there's no just. Take the word just out of your conversation. You know what I mean? It's like, I am Bobby Shuler.
Yes.
I'm not just. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm Alex Boyer. You know what I mean? That's your beautiful wife. There, it's not just, she's not just a mom, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my whole thing with music is really that, is just helping people to see, to take away the just from their language.
And you're going to be singing the song Gold to us today, and that's really what that song's about, right?
Absolutely.
I am gold. Yeah.
Because you know you have bronze, silver, and gold. You know, I was inspired from the Olympics. You know, and then all of a sudden it just hit me that you know everybody. Wants the gold. In terms of, we want a great life, we want a great marriage, we want a great experiences, we all want the gold. But sometimes we think that we only deserve bronze.
Mm-hmm.
We're all gold, every single one of us. We're put on this earth, we were born gold.
Yeah.
And whether we like it or not, we are gold. We had nothing to do with that. We were put here to be gold, but then along the way we start getting bruises and scratches, and then we're like, no, maybe I'm bronze, maybe I'm silver, maybe I'm copper. And you just don't think there's a purpose to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm starting to realize, and look, I'm not perfect. I've got a long way to go. But I'm starting to realize that when you go through that stuff, it's not because you're bad people. It's because we the Lord wants to refine us. That's how gold is made.
Alex, thank you so much for being here and blessing us with your music. We can't wait. God bless you.
Thank you.
En dat was Alex Boyer met dat prachtige lied I Am Gold. En wat zong hij dat rechtstreeks uit zijn hart. Ik moet eens even op YouTube kijken om zijn verhaal te zien. 75 miljoen mensen hebben naar dat lied gekeken. Quite amazing. It was in your church. 75 yeah. million watch.
That's right. Yeah, it's incredible what Alex Boyer has done. He's able to take... He likes to take secular music and make it where it's inspiring and encouraging to people. Yeah. So.
And that's the hour of power, because what I see in the Netherlands, and probably it's the same in America, we have people that are from strict Reformed churches, we have evangelicals, Baptists, we have people that are interested in just in spiritual things. What is the secret that you can reach so many people?
I honestly have no idea. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, I think a lot of it's the music. Yeah. I think for me as a pastor, I try and just talk to everyday people, try to be vulnerable and honest. And then I think my grandpa was that way too. You know, he was very much had a lot of secular friends and people from, even though he came from his own strict Dutch Reformed background, he had a lot of friends who were outside of his tradition that kind of helped him be open. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I love it though.
Talking about your grandfather, how much did you inherit from this great preacher?
I think he and I think the same way. We definitely preach differently, you know, and even the content is different. You know, he's more of a motivational guy, and I think I talk a little more about, you know, God's love, discipleship, things like this. And we both talk about both those things, but what I got really from my grandpa was the idea of going to people right where they are.
Yeah. Your grandfather started a ministry over 40 years ago. It still exists, the Hour of Power, till today. Is that something that you take for granted, or is it a miracle?
It's absolutely a miracle. And of course, it wasn't just my grandpa that built all of it. I mean, there was a whole team of people that believed in the idea that tough times never last, tough people do, you know, a famous line. And when the cathedral was sold and everything had happened, you know, we asked the question of our congregation, do you believe in this? Do you believe that God still has a future for this ministry? And it's a testimony to what we preach to everyone, that when you think you're at the end of your rope, God still has a future for you.
That's a great expression, when you think you were at the end of your rope.
Yeah.
You were?
We thought so. Well, some people thought so, and my job as a leader was to convince everyone that the story wasn't over, but that it was just beginning.
What are you, a benevolent leader? Are you a servant leader? What is your quality?
I don't know. I strive to lead like Jesus, yeah, and to hold things with an open hand instead of with a grip, not control everything. And I strive to create leaders more than be a leader. And I think that good leaders create followers, but great leaders create leaders. I want to be launching out new pastors, new ministries. I want to build a church that doesn't need me, a church that has so many fantastic leaders that it doesn't need one guy to lead everything.
You're still the figurehead.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I plan to be here for a long time.
Good.
But I think that's the problem, is that too many pastors and leaders, they make everything about them. But instead, in a church, we need to make everything about Jesus Christ. And we need to teach everybody that no matter where you are in life, that you have everything you need inside of you to be a world changer.
But still, you have a kind of celebrity status around you that's unavoidable, because when I saw the lines when we had a tour through the Netherlands, people would line up for you. Or is it different? Do they come for the Bobby Schuller they love?
My goal is to do whatever I can to serve people, to encourage people. And my hope is that when I preach, people feel like it's just your buddy, a friend, you know, that I am a pastor, and I do think God has given me spiritual authority. But I also want to be the kind of person that people feel like, you know, if Bobby was a friend of mine, I feel like I could just sit down with him and be open and honest. I actually just love people. I'm an extrovert. The lines that we have are actually give me energy. And actually, when we do these events in Holland, I love preaching and I love the events. My favorite part is meeting people in line. And I feel like that's where the real ministry happens, because I actually get to meet some of these people that I'm thinking of them. You know, when I'm looking into a camera and I'm preaching, I'm picturing these faces in Holland and other countries of people that say, you know, I was drowning. I was lost. I needed a voice of hope. Everybody was criticizing me, or I lost my job, or I went through a divorce or something, and Hour of Power was there to encourage me. So for me, when I go home, I think of all those people I met, and I think, man, they can do amazing things if they only believe in the power that God has given them.
Yeah. Is it hard to always be positive, or is it easy? You know, I can imagine that people come write you a letter and say, oh, you know, you're not my kind of pastor, or you're sermon was lousy today. What do you do?
Yeah.
How do you handle criticism? Because it was a major part of what you preached in the Netherlands.
Sure.
In a moment, you're going to see.
Oh, no, I have lots of critics. But one of the things I feel like is, you know, anybody that's doing anything of importance, any leader is going to receive criticism. In fact, when somebody criticizes us, we just go, oh, but we forget that when people are criticizing us, it's because we're being noticed, that we're doing something that's noticeable. And what I tell people is, take it as training.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to do great things for God, you're going to have way more critics than you have right now.
Yeah. Well, Jesus was criticized all the time.
Of course.
And he dealt greatly with it.
And his disciples were criticized, and his followers. He actually says multiple times, blessed are you when people insult you. Blessed are you when people criticize you, because they criticized me. And they criticized the prophets who were before you. And our temptation when we're criticized is to criticize back, to snap back.
Yeah.
And in truth, that's not what Jesus teaches. He teaches to turn the other cheek. And the way to respond to criticism is with compassion, with gentleness or silence. And we have to learn that when people are saying bad things about us, what they're really saying is something more about themselves. Yeah. Criticism, sharp criticism, harshness, it's always coming from a place of grief, shame, and insecurity.
Yeah.
And so that person is suffering. Yeah.
You were teaching about that during the tour in the Netherlands. That was exactly what you said. You know, whatever happens in your life, shame is a big part, but God loves you.
Yeah.
Shall we look at
that? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
En welkom Hour of Power familie van Holland.
I love the saying, we rise as we lift others. Together we strengthen each other.
Het stuk heb ik een tijdje geleden gecomponeerd en dat heet The Power of Music.
Ik krijg zoveel dingen van God, het is gewoon, nou het is gewoon, het is, elke dag gebeurt er iets, het is ongelooflijk. Zo mooi om met God te leven, het is ongelooflijk. Ja, ken je beter mij, want ik pakte dat boek en ik liet me niet meer los. En ik werd steeds getikt van, joh, je moet lezen. En toen werd ik ineens bevangen, toen werd ik zelf ineens, wij zelf christen in één keer. Zomaar geboren.
Zomaar geboren christen.
Of Jesus Christ says it's God that does the saving, not me. It's the love of God that gives me the strength to do what's right. In the same way that the way that this building draws your eyes up, so should religion draw your spirit up. And so we believe today you're going to leave here encouraged.
Fijn dat jullie hier zijn. Wat een massa mensen. Jullie bovenin en hier allemaal in de zaal. Geweldig. U bent geliefd. En laten we dat ook tegen elkaar zeggen. Henny, een van jouw mooie uitspraken vind ik. En daar ben je ook heel duidelijk in. Het is makkelijker om in God te geloven dan niet in hem te geloven.
Ja, ik heb het sterke geloof dat het makkelijker is omdat ik Jezus zie als een vader, als een hulp. Maar ik heb ook het gevoel dat als je alleen bent, kun je tegen iemand praten. En heel veel mensen kennen dat gevoel wel en zeggen dan, ja, maar dat is je geweten of dat ben je zelf. Nee, dat ben je niet zelf, dat is hem. Het, zo eenvoudig is het, dus je kan er heel moeilijk over doen, maar dat is het, dames en heren.
Wonderful. The thousands of people that were sitting there mesmerized, and we only can say thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it was amazing. And when Remco and Sarah came from either side of it was so dramatic from each part to sing the prayer, it was wonderful. And both of them are such, they put on a good show, but both of them are such heartfelt, compassionate, loving, down to earth Christians.
Yeah.
It's really great.
What does it mean for you to come now and then to the Netherlands and see all those people that come and love you? Although you live far away, but
sure.
They treat you like you're a friend, a neighbor,
yeah.
A cousin.
Well, the Dutch people are kind of that way, aren't they?
I mean, they are.
One of the neat things about the Dutch people is they're so down to earth,
yeah.
Friendly. I notice one of the things I love is that in Holland, complete strangers will meet each other and they'll stop and talk and chat about a bicycle or stroopwafels or something.
Yeah.
Like they've known each other forever. Yeah. And I love Holland for that very reason, because I think that's what the kingdom of God is supposed to be like. I think the Dutch are modeling in their culture the friendliness or love and compassion that God wants to see in the church.
There's a series on television of Daniel, and that's where you will preach in the coming weeks on television about. What is so special about Daniel that you chose to talk about him, Daniel in the lion's den?
Well, I always think that Jesus and Daniel actually have a lot in common. We usually relate Jesus to David, but I believe that Daniel was one of those prophets sort of towards the end of the Old Testament. And Daniel had this prayer life that is so important.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
You know what my mother always said to me? Jan, you have to be like Daniel. Daniel was the man of three times a day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. He prayed three times a day,
yeah.
As he always did.
Yeah.
And that's the thesis of this series that we're in right now, is the idea that it wasn't Daniel in the lion's den, it was the lions in the Daniel den.
Yeah.
That was Daniel's den.
Yeah.
He lived from an inner place of power that was rooted in a life of prayer and meditation,
yeah.
And that he was daily meditating on the Word of God, listening to the Holy Spirit. And so when he went into that place, he brought a power with him that was a peace. And that God has made us to be the kind of people that when we are in a loving relationship with him, we bring a spirit of peace and joy, even into violent places,
yeah.
That bring the temperature down. Daniel was every day, three times a day, praying towards Jerusalem with the windows open. That was who he was, and he wasn't going to allow the world to change what God was doing in his life. God's opinion mattered more than man's.
Are you Daniel?
I hope so, but not yet. I'm working on it.
Good.
Yeah.
Bobby, so good to talk to you, and thank you for being here. I remember so vividly how great the tour was, and you spoke to many of those in person. Well, many couldn't come. I give you the camera and say what you want to say to those who were not there.
Sure. Well, I would just say to you, wherever you are, you know, sometimes we feel like we want to give up, like we just want to quit on life. And you know what? Everybody feels that way. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel completely out of energy. Moms feel this way. Working people feel this way. Retired people feel this way. And I want you to know that no matter who you are alive for a reason. I believe with all my heart that God favors you. I think God's heart swells at the thought of you. He loves you. And when we learn to be people that live from this place of God's love, we're given such power to be world changers. So believe it. God will do great things in your life, and believe that God loves you and God is not disappointed in you. God is not angry at you. He's not punishing you. He's forgiven you and he loves you. If you believe that, your life will never be the same.
Wow, that's a powerful message.
That's what I believe.
Of course, this was pre-taped because you're also in church. Nick is also there. You have a great relationship with this incredible guy.
Sure.
What comes to your mind?
Well, Nick is somebody that always wants to motivate people, but he also lives from this incredible passion to see people know Jesus Christ. I think Nick's vision is to see he wants to preach to every person on the planet. What a big dream. Yeah. And I wish I had a dream that big. I'm limited to 10 million. He wants, 7 billion, But I loved Nick's heart, and he is proof that, not having arms and legs and coming from his background, he's proof that it doesn't matter what hand you were dealt in life, God can do great things through you.
let's welcome with some real energy, Nick Vujicic.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you very much. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated.
You know, when we look at our lives, we really need to really find hope. And until you actually find, as Bobby was saying, the value of who you are, that you are valuable, that you are here for a greater purpose. That was what was life-changing for me. Rich or poor, sick or healthy, if you know who you are in Jesus because he loves you and that God has a plan for your life, arms and legs, I mean, it's going to give me arthritis later on anyway. I just want you to know that in life, we look for things, but the one thing that we must find is hope. And some of us waste our entire life looking in the wrong places. And for those of you who do not know me, I just want you to know that when I was a kid, I was wishing that God would give me arms and legs. He didn't give me arms and legs, but he healed my heart and he gave me heaven in my heart. And I just love the idea of hope, real hope. Now, hope, you might think, is, well, just a coping mechanism for you, Nick. But heaven is real, just as miracles are real. Well, if miracles are real, then where are your arms and legs? Well, my answer is I have a pair of shoes in my closet in case he says yes. Because I've seen 12 miracles, I can look you without flinching in the eyes and saying, I've seen blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, lame people walking. I've seen crooked backs come straight, skin diseases fall off bodies. But yet, I remember when I was a kid, when I was 6 years old, watching how the last days of my 27-year-old first cousin died of bowel cancer. Even though I pleaded for God to keep him alive, God took him where? Home. There is a place called heaven, whether you see it or not, that doesn't change the existence of God's ultimate plan for our life. What is that plan? In Jeremiah, he says that there is a plan. God has a plan. Sometimes we're like, can I suggest a plan B? That's what I was doing because heaven didn't seem real to me at times because I didn't see it. Some people think I only have one foot just because they see only one foot, but I have a little second one right here, and it's always there. God's presence is always there. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved and healed and redeemed. I don't know if God's going to give me arms and legs in this lifetime, but I'll tell you just one quick story of why I have joy in my life. Thank God for my parents, first of all, and my family for loving me through that. But 8 years ago, I was here in this area speaking at a church, and a little boy with no arms, no legs was in the crowd. The father held him up, 19-month-old little Daniel Martinez, no arms, no legs, little foot just like me. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. We're going to wrestle later on. I got the father to bring him up on stage, and everyone was looking at him, and people were crying. I looked at him. He's looking up at me with his big brown eyes and a big smile. And when I looked at him, I remembered when I was at school, when I was getting teased, when I was getting bullied, when I felt alone, when I was broken, when I was depressed, to the point of an attempted suicide at age 10. I tried to drown myself in our family bathtub because I felt alone. I felt worthless, and I felt life was pointless. If there is no point to my suffering, then if God's not going to relieve my suffering, then I'll do it myself. But by the grace of God, I did not go through with that because of the love of my parents. But I thought one way of really seeing a miracle would be if God would send a limbless man to my school and talk to all these kids about bullying. That would have changed my life. that would be classed, in my eyes, as a miracle. Well, when you don't get a miracle, you can still be a miracle of God for someone else. It's that 15-foot radius around you, the people you come into contact with. People notice my smile. People notice when I look them in their eyes. They're like, what's a guy without arms and legs smiling about? Well, I love God, and He has set me free. The only cure to death is resurrection, and because I believe I'm living forever and ever and ever, not that just heaven is real, but Jesus is real to me now. He carries me when I cannot walk. And if God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then God can use you too. If God used my broken pieces, then God can use your broken pieces. Jesus is the healer. He loves you. Don't deny him into your heart just because you don't believe that you're not good enough for his love. That's the amazing thing about God's unconditional love. He pursues you. And when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Let him in. I hardened my heart. I didn't think he could do miracles with my broken pieces. But man, you know, when I was a kid, I never thought I'd get married. I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Kanae. We have a little baby boy, nearly 18 months old. His name is Kiyoshi. He's already my height. You know, I used to be worried about how am I going to hold my wife's hand when I was a kid? Would I ever get married? Would I ever have a job? When my parents saw me, the doctor said I'm not going to be able to walk. They had no idea what God's vision was. They were looking for hope, but they found it because they were looking in the right place. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 says, then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's verse 12 and 13. Beginning of 14, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I love what Rick Warren says. Who better to tell you what your purpose is than the one who made you? That makes sense to me. It doesn't make sense just to live for the sake of living and existing. But when I look at my life now, not just the blessings that I have, but even meeting that little boy with no arms and no legs, imagine that day that we meet up in heaven and he runs to me with his legs and he hugs me with his new arms and I hug him with my arms and I'm standing on my legs. I can only imagine what will come out of our mouth. Glory to God, number one. God, you are good. And the second thing I think would be shared is Daniel saying, Nick, thank you for helping me believe that this place called heaven was real. See, you can't have faith that you can pray for a miracle. But when your miracle doesn't come, still ask for God's vision. Search for God's vision in your life. I see some of you teenagers with gray hair and no hair here. I can see all of you from here very well. And God has you here for a reason. He's not done with you yet. There's still another person to hug. There's still another person to pray for. There's another missionary to send seed in and prayer for. Someone to comfort. A child who has no grandparent. You can be that, you know, that cute little grandma that gives them all the candies. You know what I'm saying? Like that in itself, you may not think that that goes deep, but love is the greatest answer in the world. And there was no greater love than this, than Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, that if we are not forgiven, we are not perfect, therefore not deserving of heaven. Man, that's a bigger problem than having no arms, no legs. I mean, that would be cool to have arms, legs, and go on a bike and smash into a pole and break a leg. But how distracted are we sometimes? I want arms and legs. I want arms and legs. Oh, if I can just get that job, then everything's going to be happy. And many single people are like, well, if I can just get married, then I'll be happy. If you're not happy single in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be happy married. Amen? Amen. Can you hear an amen again? Amen. Those are the married people. So my question to, and by the way, my wife loves me and I love her. Well, our marriage is fine. But our foundation of our marriage is knowing that we cannot do anything without Jesus. You can have stuff. But what's the point of having stuff? You can give me $1 billion. But if my wife dies tonight, if my mom dies tonight, if my cousin dies tonight, money's nothing. What are you looking for? Hope? Purpose? Come to Jesus. He's the only one who was holy and perfect. He was the only one who said he was God. He's the only one who did miracles the way that he did. And before he raised himself from the dead, he raised a couple other people from the dead. He's real. He's God. Don't harden your heart as you hear the knock on the door. He loves you whether you're running away 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction or not. He loves you right now. He can help you. He can, and only He, can heal your family, can heal your mind, and make you a new creation. Does that mean now I wake up every morning and say, good morning, everybody. Don't you feel the Holy Spirit today? You have ups and downs, correct? See my foot? Ups and downs, ups and downs. But the question is not, how are you doing? It's wherever you're going, are you going with God in His strength, with His plan, or your plan? My parents' vision of my life, they thought I would just be laying down the rest of my life. They never knew that I could type 43 words a minute on a normal computer and do surfing and scuba diving and skydiving. They never thought that their limbless kid would be a 31-year-old evangelist meeting 7 presidents, speaking at 5 congresses, and 400 million people around the world heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I get goosebumps on the skin I don't even have when I... Like, that's amazing. That's God. That's nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with what broken pieces He used. I just gave Him my heart and I said, here, Lord, here I am. I don't understand what You have for me, but I trust You. Give me arms and legs, but if You don't give me arms and legs, take my heart, heal my heart, renew my mind. I want to live for You. It's ironic to me that when you plant a seed in the ground, it has to die before anything grows. Isn't that weird? It's weird to me. When I let my own will, my own plans be surrendered, say, God, take over. That's when He brings live, beautiful things out of dead, broken bones, dead, broken dreams, torn pieces of my heart and my mind. He says, I got you. And when you cannot walk, I'll carry you. And when you mourn, I'll be there. I am with you. I love you. I have a plan. Trust me. Would you say this prayer out loud with me? Say, dear God, I come to You today and I thank You for loving me. Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross for all of my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my life and heal me. Please fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I want to live for you. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to know you more. Give me faith to live out your plan. Comfort me and strengthen me. Every day I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you to go check out the tables out the back. If you've been praying for an evangelical ministry to help and push us all around the world, please consider our ministry as Life Without Limbs and share the resources out there. And I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to hug anyone here because I'm just scared someone's just going to pick me up and take me home. Guys, God bless you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. And Bobby, thank you so much. God bless you.
And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Een prachtige preek van Nick. En hoe bemoedigend als je zo'n lichaam hebt en zoveel power hebt. Onstopbaar geloof. Daarover gaat hij praten. Unstoppable faith op 23 september in Veenendaal. En ik hoop dat jullie er allemaal bij zijn. Rick Voorberg is volgende week mijn gast. Hij is een hele bijzondere jonge dominee. Je zult het aan zijn uiterlijk zien. Hij heeft een boek geschreven over Jacob de manipulator. En heeft heel bijzonder een pop-up kerk. Nou, daar gaat hij allemaal over vertellen. En ik neem van harte afscheid, maar dat doe ik niet alleen, dat doe ik samen met Bobby.
Yeah, thank you so much for watching today. We want you to know that we love you. God loves you, and so do we.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schuller. Blijf in contact met ons via Facebook, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige producten die u bemoedigen en inspireren. De boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.